Introduction. The Sublime Wisdom of Lao Tzu. If you are a student of esoteric literature, you may have read about a remarkable mystery involving the medieval inhabitants of the south of France. There, in the land of Sabartes, the cradle of the Cathars, praised be their name, a supernatural power was possessed, the power of the consolamentum. By means of the consolamentum, it was possible to bring about a separation between animal man and spirit man, between the human being of this earth and the original being in the form it possessed before time began. The consolamentum was more than a sacramental seal. It was more than simply a magical outpouring of power, because for the Cathars it involved a definitive break with dialectical life. So those who had received the consolamentum were no longer inhabitants of the earth in the absolute sense. In the true sense of the words, they were in the world, but no longer of the world. Researchers have often wondered about the identity of the spiritual instigators behind this movement in medieval France. They could see quite clearly that this spiritual awakening, if it could have evolved without interference, would have embraced the whole of Europe in a way hitherto unknown. Who were the initiates who inspired the movement and had such an effect on tens of thousands of people that the church turned against them with a bloody and terrible hatred? These initiates were world citizens in the best sense of the word, who literally loved the whole of humankind and who even now move and appear among us wherever an opportunity presents itself. Their traces are to be found from east to west and from north to south. And if one studies world history, one can detect the connections between all the various events and developments they have brought about. Even so, from earliest times until the present, they have always remained in the background, cloaked in mystery. There is a hermetic veil between them and the masses, and all attempts of self-willed science to trace the source of the mystery must and will always fail. For the knowledge, the art, and the abilities of the Cathars were universal. Their source was not to be found on earth, but only in the immovable kingdom itself. There are authors who deplore the destruction, or rather the apparent destruction, of the Cathars and lament the loss of their wisdom and power. But this sorrow is misplaced, because any power, any sublime wisdom whose origin is the universal life itself, can never be lost. It is nothing less than the breath of God, which passes over human beings time and time again in its loving efforts to save them, withdrawing again whenever, in their hatred and bloodlust, material and mortal human beings attempt to violate it. We wanted to consider this European contact with the universal power of love as a prelude to our reflections on a simi-la, divine contact that took place in the Far East, a contact embodied in the sublime being known as Lao Tzu. It is not known whether he really lived or whether he was one person or several. Countless legends surround him like a veil. But one thing is certain, that he, in his wisdom, could have dispelled all the sorrow of the observers and researchers of that medieval drama in the south of France, because the mystery of the consolamentum can also be referred to as the mystery of Tao. Tao comes not and was not. Tao is. But, says Lao Tzu, people old in experience who knew Tao. Did not speak of this most secret sanctuary, well knowing that the profane incline towards darkness, converting powers of life into destruction. If certain powers awaken in the human being and he becomes conscious of his great strength without breaking away from his lower self-seeking, the fire smothers in its own cinders. So do not reveal the mystery to the profane. Is not the naked eye blinded by too much light? To govern a nation means to fulfill a great task, that of giving light whilst standing in the shadow. It is said that the Cathars possessed secret books expounding the true life and the universal doctrine, which were destroyed by the priesthood of those times. However, the true hidden book of the Cathars is the unwritten book, the same as the Book of Tao and the Book M of Christian Rosicross, and the book sealed with seven seals mentioned in the Revelation of John. This book, this universal knowledge, is unwritten and hidden from the profane. But it is open and revealed in fiery, radiant letters to those who have broken away from their lower self-seeking. That is why, for the Cathars, the Consolamentum was preceded by the Endure. The Endurer is a dying as to nature. It means freeing oneself of the I-being and making oneself ready for rebirth. To the extent that you too are engaged in this process, you no longer need to waste time and energy searching for books and manuscripts on which you pin all your hopes of liberation. Tao can neither be spoken nor written. Tao, the way, the path, can only be experienced. This single sentence reveals the poverty of intellectual knowledge and understanding and the foolishness of the brain consciousness in all their nakedness. You can only know anything worth knowing. You can only possess any thing worth possessing. You can only understand anything worth understanding when you have died as to nature, when the so deadly eye delusion has been extinguished from your microcosm. Until you begin this process, you will remain profane, godless, immature, staring into the darkness of your reason and possessing nothing, nothing at all. What you will have, however, is the sorrow, the searing woe of life in dialectics, a terrible, raging fire that is repeatedly smothered in its own cinders, only to blaze up yet again. To remain subject to dialectics means to be consumed by a hellish pain without end, from which you can only obtain freedom by following the path, the way, Tao. You need to pass through the Endurer, through the self-neutralization of the lower nature. But you cannot do it alone, and neither do you need to, because the power you need to help you really does exist, and the liberating words really are there to be heard. If only you will leave behind everything you possess, then, like Lao Tzu, you will see. The hidden power, O mystery, inviolate eternally, O clear and tranquil fountain, true life's source. In deepest essence are we truly one with you, for from the one the multitude flows forth. Many pupils of the spiritual school seem unable to see this one, true life, this one essential thing, even though they are searching and yearning for it. This must have a reason, and it can only lie in the fact that many are still clinging too tightly to the things of the old life and expect divine revelation simply to penetrate the innermost parts of their earthly being and awaken the one true life within their microcosms without their needing to follow any process. But that is not so. If you want to travel to the new promised land, you yourself will have to cast off the many heavy anchors you have driven into the shores of your life. And the fact that this is possible is confirmed by the holy language, which says, "He that calls you is nearby, yes, even nearer than hands and feet." So, the pilgrim on the path to liberation from his lower self casts off all his desires as useless ballast. Naked, he enters the temple of the highest initiation. The tabernacle's portal is the grave. As a pupil, or someone who is interested in the Gnosis, you know the need to become a Freemason and build the holy cathedral stone by stone. The holy mountain, Mont Salvat, is invisible in matter, yet, by passing through the grave of the lower nature, you may enter there and join the Master. Masons as an apprentice. Learn then from Lao Tzu your fundamental impediments and the key to Tao. The highest knowledge is to acknowledge that we know nothing. This not knowing makes us tranquil and devout. In letters we may know more than illiterates, but as to the profound mystery of life and death, we know not one jot more. Man's real illness lies in not knowing that he does not know. Yet you should not think Lao Tzu is recommending some kind of negative, mystical dependence, some kind of mystical rejection of the fruits of understanding. No, Lao Tzu is simply saying that the mentality is like a dam, preventing the flow of the spirit, and that is the reason why your way of thinking must be set aside. Just ask yourself what in fact you are doing with your thinking faculty. You are intellectualizing Gnostic thoughts, and your heart is mystified by your emotional thoughts. In this way, you erect a dam, preventing the influx of the spirit. Yet doesn't universal wisdom teach that heart and head form a unity? Besides, as long as we refuse to acknowledge that we know nothing, the highest reality will remain, at most, a beautiful dream, and only we ourselves can remedy this lack of new consciousness. He who recognizes this sick spot is already healed thereby. Recognition is the arcanum of this dark disease. The essence cannot be touched by intellectual thinking, neither can the sublime ideal he attained by human deeds. Here is another concept pertaining to the new reality, held by brothers and sisters throughout the ages, which has always been difficult to understand: the rejection of dialectical actions. These enlightened brothers and sisters knew of another mode of action than that of the dialectical human being, a quite different form of idealism, another humanity. They knew only the living, vibrant activity of life in the new reality, an activity which to human beings of this earth seems to be a limitless void with neither purpose nor form. The many hermetically seal themselves off, and, though having eyes, they blindly go their way. For them, all roads lead from the cradle to the grave. Their lot in life is more a curse than a blessing. All who live in the 20th century are conscious of experiencing life as a curse. But alas, the more accursed life becomes, the more people seem to cling to it and try to wring from it the blessings they desire. Understandably, though, the results are minimal. The blessings pass by like ships in the night, because the essence of the universal doctrine is not understood, and consequently, one is unable to act in the right way. That is why the sage of 2500 years ago says, "One simple line will tell my teaching. My acts to it are strictly bound." Yet interpreted in many ways by man, the core in one great tangle is obscured. And it is true, isn't it, that the one simple, essential truth, the key to the true life, is so often obscured in a great tangle of pseudo-wisdom and verbosity. But Lao Tzu says, "Yet I who through the labyrinth can find my way will not by erring lights be led astray. I hold the thread that leads me to the core. Peacefully I watch where others uselessly make war. On the world stage I play no part at all. To the vain, therefore, do I seem insignificant and small. And while they strive to gain some part in multiplicity, mine is the all, O true felicity." You see, that is the most important thing, to gain the all. This may sound rather strange to Western ears, but it means the same as the Christian idea of sanctification, a term expressing the magical power of a spirit made holy in Christ. The word holy is derived from the concept of becoming whole. So to gain the all means to become whole, or holy, once more. The universal doctrine shows the pupil that his microcosm is no longer whole, but badly damaged. Under the curse of this damaged state, he strives to gain something for himself from the multiplicity of things. and that is why the curse can never turn into a blessing. That is why he becomes more and more entangled in matter. When the pupil realizes the uselessness of all this activity and gives it up, when he has become convinced that higher expectations can never be realized on the basis of his ego, he will be forging for himself an impenetrable spiritual armor, and he will be able to follow the path, the way, Tao, because the I delusion within him has been killed. Then the microcosm will be restored to its original condition, and the entity concerned will participate in the all. So we can see how the message of the present day, Rosicross, is and has been the message of all times since the fall. And it is the message of Lao Tzu proclaimed more than 2,500 years ago. This message will go on resounding until the seeker sees clearly the road before him and says to the universal sages, I wish to live according to your great and wise example, to know that I am linked with the divine plan of creation. One last point. The seeker will only see the path. He will only see Tao when he discovers that he is suffering in the ego, as Lao Tzu puts it. When he discovers that nothing and no one can heal him of this pain, that no one can put out this fire until he himself says farewell to his I-being. Then the great lamp of the all-consciousness will begin to burn for the pilgrim, and he will be imbued with this divine radiance, which, as a consolamentum, will raise him up out of the night of his suffering.